I'm going to continue the digging here into the politics in Michigan, key swing state. Interesting that a generic Republican in this epic MRA polling is beating Gretchen Whitmer by a point. But now there are a lot less Republicans to choose from, apparently. State Bureau of Elections recommending that five candidates, including the former chief of police for Detroit, James Craig, and self-funding millionaire Perry Johnson, be cut, saying that their signatures were not valid. And it's really interesting that 68,000 bad signatures come back to exactly 36 people, the same 36 people. Anyhow, half of the field of Republicans running for governor not making the cut. Joining me to sort it out a little bit, a guy who will have something to say about this, Norm Schenkel, because he's one of two Republicans, serves on the State Board of Canvassers. Norm, good to have you back on the program.
Steve, it's good to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Always, it is a bizarre story, Norm. I mean, half of the Republican, the biggest field of Republican candidates for governor since 1920 gets cut in half because of forgeries and illegal activity. And I'm just like, how does that happen? And to me, I'm like, that can't be a coincidence. There's something totally wrong here. From the first moment I saw this story, I'm like, something is off. How can the same 36 people be tied to all of these people being disqualified? Your thoughts.
Well, Steve, right now it's speculation if there is some sort of a formula that was used. I think what you got basically is a bunch of candidates that need a bunch of signatures, and you got people out there holding themselves out saying, yeah, I can help you. Hire me, and they were doing it fraudulently.
That'd be criminal, wouldn't it?
Go to jail.
Yeah, that would be criminal.
Go to jail.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Prosecute them, Steve. Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing, though. You're in the position here that you're one of the four votes as to whether or not you accept the State Board of Elections recommendation, which is to eliminate Chief Craig, to eliminate Perry Johnson, and three others. You don't have any other choice, dude. I don't know. But what position does that put you in? This is the recommendation. The signatures are not valid. The state law is clear. You have to have 15,000 valid signatures, right?
Yeah, I think there's 19 candidates that are insufficient signatures because of this, not just five. There's a bunch of judges and people running for Congress also, but the main people that are doing most of the fraud are focused on some. But some of the, they're showing the examples. I'm going to be there today reviewing for our meeting tomorrow. But some of the examples, Steve, the whole page of signatures for one candidate, they found another page of the exact same signatures, exact, same ink, same handwriting for a different candidate. So, I mean, they were doing this systematically. Being hired by more than one candidate and doing this fraud. And you got to wonder if there was some, what was the connection? And I hope we can get to the bottom of it, but we got to prosecute. That's the number one. And you're right, the law says you got to have these signatures. They got to be good signatures. So our hands are kind of tied. They have to have the minimum number of signatures required in order to be on the August primary election ballot.
Right. So, I guess that's the takeaway, isn't it? That's you know, it's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. Even if fraud was committed, but how does a candidate, practically speaking, how does a candidate defend themselves? They hire somebody to do what is supposed to be done, right? You don't have the time as a candidate to go through and check all these signatures. I mean, you hire a firm that you think is reputable. Other people are hiring it. Apparently, you say 19 candidates in all across a variety of races, including the race for governor, not qualifying. I mean, how do you protect against that?
Well, Steve, there's you know, checks and balances. I mean, obviously, you have to have your people, your staff, whatever, checking what these people are out there doing and making sure they're getting good signatures. But when you see a fraudulent signature, it takes a bit of an artist to figure out that's a forged signature. So it is not as easy as you might think, knowing that these are bad signatures. It's not easy. And getting signatures, I mean, it's hard. When you get the first 50, you can get your friends to do that. But once you go to 500 or 5,000, I mean, it's work.
Yeah.
Getting people to sign a petition for whatever the cause may be.
Right. So, again, Dana Nessel should be investigating this today. But from what I understand, what I've seen thus far, Jocelyn Benson has not asked for any investigation. Does the Attorney General have to sit idly by and wait for a request from the Secretary of State, or can she say, this is obvious, something's going on here, I need to get to the bottom of it? Can't she act of her own, you know, free will?
Well, Steve, the reports from the Bureau of Elections were just published this week, okay? Everything just came out late Monday. So there hasn't been time yet to form an opinion. We're going to vote on this stuff Thursday and Friday if we don't get done Thursday. So that would be the time after the meeting of the State Board of Canvassers for prosecutorial process to start. And it's going to be not only the circulators that were fraudulent, but the people that hired them, the firms that employ these people. They were part of it. So,
right. But again, just to be clear, the takeaway is this. If you didn't get the signatures, regardless whether it was fraud or who you hired or what the problem may be, if you didn't get the required amount of signatures for whatever race you're in, you're not going to make the ballot, are you?
Yeah, that's the statute. You got to have the signatures, and if they're fraudulent, they don't count. So
period.
Right now we have of all these candidates, I got a list here all marked up, and a lot of judicial candidates didn't make it. And some of these people, they filed almost twice as many signatures as they needed, and they still didn't make the ballot.
There you have it.
I've never seen anything like this before.
Me either, Norm. I've never seen this kind of fraud. And all it does is further instill concern from voters about what's happening with elections. Norm Schenkel, always appreciate talking to you, my friend. Thank you.
Okay, Steve. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Norm Schenkel, he's one of the four members of the State Board of Canvassers. He's one of the two Republicans there, and you heard him. He doesn't have an option. Either you met the requirement or you didn't, regardless of how that happened. Some final thoughts for this hour after the break.
In the den. It's a new day to celebrate and be free. It's a new day full of excitement because it's a new day for winning only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. It's a new day at SoaringEagleCasino.com. The Tigers are wrapping up their series here in Minnesota today, and I can't help but think back to Aníbal Sánchez's no-hit bid in 2013 against the Twins. Sánchez had carried the no-no into the ninth inning. He was just two outs away when Joe Mauer singled up the middle to break up his chance. Sánchez would finish off his fourth career one-hitter by throwing 130 pitches and striking out 12. He had thrown a no-hitter while with the Marlins in 2006 and had flirted with plenty of other no-hitters, even in the playoffs with the Nationals in 2019. But that late May bid with the Tigers was special. It was special because it helped propel him to a new career-high 14 wins that season, a career best in 202 strikeouts, and helped him win his first and only earned run average crown.